talk to us. Talk at us.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime!
Like an inch and a half long.
Right.
My wife doesn't care.
My fly is open.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you just get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the show link, go back to DLNTS.org. And ICChannelAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1078 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yeah, at least one of us is here.
Yeah, and Dave's out sick, and Joel will be barging in here shortly after he gets back from his endeavors. Did you want to go and start talking about what you were going to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not anything technical, but, you know, and it probably won't take real long. It's just why I've had a shitty day today. So I got a text message along with my sister. We were put into a group chat over text from my stepmom. My dad, at 3 o'clock in the morning, passed out while letting out the dog, fell down, and broke his leg.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
And then, so they took him to the emergency room because evidently, this isn't the first time he's fainted, but he hasn't really, you know, talked about it to anybody. So, they couldn't figure out what caused him to pass out, but they're moving him over to the VA hospital for observation to try and figure that out. So, this is not the first conversation I've had with family members about my dad's health recently. Evidently, my sister thought he wasn't eating right. I talked to my dad about it, and he said that he was eating enough. So, fine. My sister can't get it done. My stepmom can't get it done. I ping his brother. My dad and his brother don't get along all that well, but he's still his brother. So I'm like, give me my aunt's phone number. And so he gives me my aunt's phone number. And I'm sicking his sister on him. And then I also found out that evidently there is a family group chat that both me and my sister are not invited to.
Well, that stinks.
Yep. And of course, today is also the day that I ended up taking over that second team. So now I'm a team lead for two different teams, although I only have the access to support one of the teams because one of the teams is private and the other is public. And I can't cross the barrier to support both. And the new guys are extremely concerned because they used to be basically what's called a L1 catch and release team. Either they restart it or they escalate it or they restart it and then escalate it. But now they're actually expected to do some analysis and they think it's going to be difficult. And so I had to spend a good 2 or 3 hours today reassuring them that it's really not that difficult to put in a little bit more work to understand the error there in most log files. And that really most of the stuff that's happening in a log file, you don't have to worry about as long as you can do a bit of pattern recognition while scrolling through the thing, you can figure out where the error is pretty darn quick. Since we don't get to do it from, you know, a proper like Linux box, we have to do it from the HTML.
That's never fun.
Nope.
Is that because you don't have access to it because it's in production?
Correct.
So do you get, are the logs being dumped somewhere?
The logs are being dumped to a website.
Oh. And then that's where you're getting the information.
Correct.
And that's not, and you're just not getting what you need?
Well, no, I mean, if I could go to a command line, then I could properly use commands to search through it.
Mm-hmm.
I can still use find on the website, but it's not nowhere near as fun that way.
No, it's not. So is it a home? I guess a home-built log aggregation system, or is it a packaged software product or service that they're using? Did I leave? Joe?
That sucks. You could no longer hear me there for a minute. I couldn't hear you for a second. Yeah. No, it's very, very much an in-house type of thing. Yeah, I mean, Bank of America created it, and they're the only ones that use it.
And so, is it just not up to snuff for you to be able to get what you need to get, or is it?
Because of how they isolate things, that's really the only way they'll allow us to see the information.
Right.
Now, for those applications, there are other applications where we do have direct access to basically everything, but that's supposed to get fixed slowly over time, and that's kind of what I've seen. They're really isolating everything, which they kind of need to do for regulatory reasons, so, you know,
what's
I can't
that
complain
called?
About that. Cylinder, no. Power.
No, I meant the regulation. What is that regulation called? Like
stupid.
There's a term when you're dealing with financial stuff, in particular.
Oh,
there's
isolation.
No. There's, you know, like there's for health records. There's like HIPAA, but oh crap!
Well,
what is it?
We have specific regulations in regards to data retention, and
but I think it also has to do with like the whole security behind it all has to conform to a standard that's called.
I don't remember.
I can't remember what that standard is called.
I work with it every day, and I don't remember what it's called. So
it's been a while.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I can see where I can help this new team. I was kind of concerned about that since I'm not going to be able to, you know, sit down and take a shift if somebody needs it or something like that. But they're going to need a lot of hand-holding to get up to speed and their confidence built up to be able to do a higher level of support than they're at now.
You know what it is? It's PCI compliance. Isn't that it?
Okay. What's that stand for?
Payment card industry compliance. It's when you have to deal with payments and financial stuff. Maybe that. Right. Maybe for a bank, it's a little different. That instead, not just PCI compliance, but probably a whole lot of other crap that you guys have to deal with.
Because I'm mostly working with like traders and crap, so.
So you have to do those regular, like, what's that called? Ethics training and stuff like that.
Oh yes. Where, yes.
We get those on
all the time.
A quarterly basis where, you know, it's like if you learn this from a client, can you take that and go buy stock? And it's like, no,
right.
It's insider trading.
Yeah, I'm not even allowed to trade without jumping through so many hoops that it would be worth it.
Yeah,
specific trades that I'm simply not allowed to make. So certain stocks that I'm not allowed to purchase at all, even with regulation.
That makes sense. Well, wait a second. So what's the, I mean, is your dad okay now, or is
like I said, they had him in the ER, and that's where they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him other than his fractured leg. And then they called his doctor over at the VA. And his doctor over at the VA said, let's move him over here and we will set him up for observation and try and figure out why he's passing out. Honestly, it sounds a lot like the problems I was having where my blood pressure would just bottom out and I'd almost pass out. For me, I'm pretty sure it was allergies, but if I find something different with him...
Now, see, my dad had similar problems, but I think it was more to do with the alcoholism than anything.
My dad quit drinking 15, 20 years ago now.
So I don't think it's the same thing. But he would blame it on everything else. He'd be like, there were bees outside, and I think I got stung by a bee and had an allergic reaction. And I'm like, dude, you were passed out on the porch. What's going on here?
What? Anaphylaxis can cause your blood pressure to drop and for you to pass out.
Right.
It could be it, but...
I think my dad's stinger came in a Dewar's bottle, but whatever.
Right. It was at the bottom of the bottle. You had to find it.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I hope everything works out for your dad.
This is most definitely not his first medical scare. I'm going to have to hear a lot more from a doctor before I start worrying about the man a lot, you know, in regards to him dying. I mean, in his, mid to late 30s, he was passing blood clots through his heart and into his lungs and has scar tissue in his lungs from that.
Jesus.
And, yes.
That's this was good.
This was when he was self-medicating, okay? That was when he was an alcoholic. So he was taking them blood thinners every day, which kept him alive. And then he had the artery in his left leg replaced with a rubber one because all of the blood clots in both of the main arteries in his leg. And then that got infected. And he couldn't walk, and he almost died from sepsis. But they pulled the fake one out and pulled one out of his other leg and moved it over. So, yeah.
I didn't know you had extra arteries in your legs that you could...
I don't know what the hell they did, but they had to pull the fake one out and pull one out from somewhere else in him and move it over. Plus, he had to get the main artery leading up into his heart cleaned out. Because of all the blood clots there. And then he had to have the same thing done in his neck.
This is why I work out.
Dude, man. Hey.
I don't want any of that.
This has been going on for the man since basically right after he got out of the military when he was still a beast.
That's crazy.
It's not like he can go for a jog. His legs are... screwed up.
Well, at least he's still alive.
Right?
That's amazing. Right. So,
he quit drinking. Mm-hmm. He quit smoking. The only thing he will not quit is copious amounts of sugar, which is basically all he eats, even though he's borderline diabetic.
You know, that's crazy, man. You got somebody, you know, your dad, questionable health. Lifestyle choices along the way, still kicking, and you got other people that are like perfectly fit, just drop over dead at like 44 or something like that. It's like crazy ass genetics, man.
Yeah, of course I know people that were smoking well into their 90s, like a friggin' tree, and they're just fine. And then, like my dad, you know, COPD. My grandpa, COPD.
Was he in any of active military engagements when he was in?
Yes.
I wonder if that's a big reason.
That my he was exposed family, to a lot of harsh chemicals. So yes,
yeah.
He thinks he was exposed to Agent Orange. He actually gets a lot of medical coverage due to all the chemicals that he was potentially exposed to while over there. So
that is insane.
Like Holy Agent Mom. Orange and stuff like that.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh.
So, he's a survivor.
Yeah, he'll keep going. Hopefully.
He's a stubborn bastard that refuses to die.
Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. But our plans for Christmas this year are to go to El Paso to see my wife's parents, who are older. Like, my dad's mid-60s. Her parents are, like, late 70s. And their health hasn't been the greatest lately either, so...
Well, late 70s, you're getting there. You're getting to that.
Yeah.
My mother, my mother-in-law is, like, 82, 83, I think. I don't remember. Somewhere in close to mid-80s. And she chain-smokes like a motherfucker, and she's still going. She is still going.
Well,
my dad hasn't smoked since they moved into their house. What did it for him was he offered the apartment to paint the apartment that they were living in until when they left it. And when he was painting that apartment, he was cleaning the walls before he painted it, and he was just cleaning this layer of tobacco stains off the wall.
Probably the first time he painted it, the first layer, those stains leaked through even after washing.
Or he had to put kills on it, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, and he hasn't, he just quit cold turkey when they moved into their house. He hasn't smoked since then.
Well, so. When I not last year, but the year before, right before Christmas, I quit smoking for 6 months, and I did it by going cold turkey.
Good job, man.
I started again.
Did you start again?
After 6 months. But, I quit, that was difficult, but basically I just, you know, told myself that morning that I decided to quit, okay, now I'm a non-smoker.
Well, I've done it, did it. I signed up for my first 10K, which is going to be the same race I did last year, but I'm going to do a 10K. So I got a little bit over a year to train and get into that. Then I decided today that I would like to run a marathon before I turn 60, and I'm 53 now. Because I ain't quitting this. I am not stopping. I am feeling better.
You want to run a marathon?
Well, to complete it, yeah, run it.
Good for you, man. You can do it.
Obviously, jog, but that's still running when it's a marathon. So
right,
yeah.
So that's, I think, yeah, I got about 6 years. So I mean, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know. I'm going to start pushing up the distances and building my endurances. I am in a process now of when I get to the hike next September, which is that registration opens up Friday for that. I am going to start like doubling my upper body workout. My lower body's stupid strong right now. I mean, not that I can't go up, get stronger down there, that of course, but like, my last set of leg presses I did when I did my leg workout earlier this week, I was, pumping, 280 and I did the same on the calf extensions or calf raises, essentially it's what that is. They call it a calf extension machine at Planet Fitness, but it's a calf raise. Weighted calf raise. So, and I keep going up on those, but I want to have my upper body. Well, I don't know if I'll be able to get it as strong as my lower, but I just want it much stronger so that I can pull myself up the inclines and stuff.
You're trying to make your calves stronger. I've kind of made a study of some of the scientific research on growing calves.
No, my calves are already strong. So,
what are you trying to do there?
I just do one leg workout a week. That's it. I'm working on more. Gonna start working more on the upper body.
Okay, so you're just trying to maintain it.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. Well, the only thing the literature really says is that it's really the negative there. So when you're on that particular machine, you have your heel well below the
right.
The bar. Holder there, the bar there, and you make sure to flex your toes upward, and
yep,
that will give you the most growth. Abs. Yep.
And I got me some Nutter Butter whey protein powder from Ghost. Oh, that stuff's so good.
Ghost makes some pretty good stuff. I can recommend the Nutter Butter, but I don't recommend their Oreo.
The Oreo is supposed to be hot chocolate, though, I think.
Oh, let me look. I got some of the Ghost here. Make sure it's the one I'm talking about. It's taking me forever to get through it because it kind of sucks.
Chips Ahoy, I've heard, is good, too. And the Cinnabon. I want to try the Cinnabon.
Okay, this is Ghost Whey Oreo. And it just... It kind of tastes like old marshmallows.
Ew.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Ghost Whey Protein, the Oreo flavored.
Oh.
Whey Protein supplements. You could do the vegan stuff too. I really don't care which one. I'm not vegan and probably never will be.
Well, the vegan protein powders usually taste a lot worse.
Yeah.
Right now, in the 90s and early 2000s, all protein tasted like butt. But
definitely not the case now.
Yeah, the vegan ones all seem to be a bit chalkier, so it's better to get something with a heavy flavor. So, coffee flavor vegan
or coffee. Yeah.
The chocolate always ended up tasting chalky. Vegan ones, I usually get them just if they're on sale, and yeah, but most have not been a good experience.
Makes me wish. Well, see, GNC had a sale, buy one get the second for 50% off, but because I didn't want to spend the $44 on a big thing of it before I tried some, I got the smaller container over at Meijer. So I know I like it now, so I'm gonna buy this. I'll probably buy more eventually. But I dropped some hints to my niece and says, hey, get me some, if you want something easy, Ghost Energies, Element Drink Sticks. Actually, their sparkling stuff is good, too. I like that stuff.
You should take that that Nutter Butter, take a scoop of that, mix it with a whole frozen banana, and a cup of almond milk. And toss it in a blender with half a tray of ice.
You know what, though? The thing with the Nutter Butter, I did it in a little blender first, which it works, but the one thing I discovered is if you do it in a shaker cup, there's actually cookie bits in it.
I was saying make a smoothie out of it.
Right.
Banana.
It would work, yeah. I mean... Actually, I'm just sitting there thinking that, looking at what I've been eating, and I've been realizing how little vegetables I've been eating. I won't say I fall off the wagon, because I haven't, because I actually managed to get through Thanksgiving and didn't gain a fucking pound, and I ate like a pig. I had two pieces of maple bacon cheesecake, a piece of pumpkin roll, a piece of pumpkin pie. And a little of everything.
Yeah, I had a lot of pie.
Yeah. But I'll have to ask my sister-in-law if they ended up eating the rest of that cheesecake, because there was half of it left. She makes so dang much stuff that she has had a bunch of leftovers. That's the best thing about me not making Thanksgiving here at home this year. I didn't have any leftovers. but
no, we had a guest over for Thanksgiving. One of my middle child's friends' family went out of town, and they were stuck here working, so invited him over for Thanksgiving, and he brought flan.
Oh dear.
Was it good?
Oh, it's delicious. I love flan.
I bet it was.
Flan is damn good.
It's also very, very calorific.
Yes, it is.
I smoked a turkey for Thanksgiving and took it down to my mother-in-law's, and everybody loved it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. I brought back some leftovers, and I made it in a turkey pot pie, so...
Turkey pot pie. Who's...
Damn right.
But she made... Nice. My sister-in-law made both turkey and ham. I only had turkey, though. And little bits of ham.
We went to HEB, and they had a really good deal. You buy a ham, and you get 12 pounds of turkey for free. Now, we got like an 18-pound turkey, but we only had to pay for like 6 pounds of it, so...
You know, what bummed me out this year was that I think due to the close proximity of Thanksgiving to Christmas, the post-Thanksgiving turkey sales did not happen at my grocery store. And I don't know why. They're still like, they're more expensive now than they were before Thanksgiving.
It was difficult to find sales in general on turkey this year. I mean,
like
last year, like what, 68 cents? And now the most of the places this year had it like $1.24 or something.
See, I don't know what happened, but I close tier. Like Thanksgiving, you can get a turkey a couple days before Thanksgiving, a week before Thanksgiving for like a 16 to 20 pound turkey between $4.50 and like $8. And then afterwards, after Thanksgiving, usually like they go on sale even cheaper. And that's when I pick them up and toss them in the freezer.
But
now they're like 20 to 30 bucks.
You may have to wait till after Christmas on that, because sometimes people make turkey for Christmas, and maybe that's why.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, maybe they're holding out. Because Christmas is like – Thanksgiving was kind of late this year, and Christmas is like right around the corner. So I still have a whole 20-pound turkey, 21-pound turkey in the freezer. Yeah. So I'm not starving for turkey yet. But I was going to pick up two, maybe three. Sometimes they have the ones that were never frozen, and I break those down and you know.
See, they got Meyer has – let's see – 20 to 24 pound turkeys for $10.78.
No, that I would go for that.
I might have to pick one up myself because I
pick it up and send
it
to me.
Like it.
Yeah, that's like 50 cents a pound. You can't complain about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. It's 49 cents a pound actually. But
I'll have to swing by Food Lion and see if they got some cheap ass turkeys again.
Yeah, they might. It might have just been early for the sales.
Well, it was weird. Well, this was on Sunday that I went. Like I said, usually.
Yeah, that's weird.
But
no, I do know. I used the hell out of the Kroger pop sale they had. They had a deal where you bought 2 12s and you got 3 free. I have probably 2 weeks worth in my mini fridge and some in the garage still. And I got my I'm doing a week from Saturday. We're doing our family Christmas party up here for the Ohio family. And I'm doing a Ohio and Pennsylvania charcuterie board as part of the food. So, the Pennsylvania one's going to have Lebanon bologna on it. In fact, I got it in my fridge right now. I ordered it. I ordered it from Seltzer's directly, and I was going to order about $100 worth until I got it all in the cart, and I looked at they were going to have – the shipping was going to be $50. It still was pretty high shipping, so I just cut it back a little bit down to about $80 worth. I got like a box, and I got some of the Chipotle snackers. But I'm going to put that on a – I do have a like a really nice marble slash wood charcuterie board. Last year I had cookies on, and stuff on it. I'll probably just put those in just something else. I'm still going to make gingerbread and probably cranberry bliss bars and a shoot fly pie because that's also Pennsylvania. So with a lot of people, at least my wife's family, they never had that stuff.
It's crazy.
It's also my subtle thing to get more people asking about it here so that they start carrying more of their product here. Because I can get like, I think Giant Eagle has like just a regular in pre-packed and you can get it sliced. Kroger used to carry the Penn Dutch brand of the Lebanon bologna, but they don't carry it anymore. They worked out some sort of deal with Boar's Head. So they do all their deli case.
Oh, you know what? I let me finish off with Thanksgiving crap before, because we got some tech stuff I could talk about. But
yeah.
Oh my God, Joel. So my mother-in-law moved to Newberry, South Carolina, which is about an hour south from where she lived in Chester, South Carolina, and which afforded us a new way to go instead of heading across Southern Virginia to where Chad Wallenberg lives out there in South Hill, and then down 85 through Charlotte to 77, I think it is, out towards Columbia to head off into Chester before you get there. This way says take 95, which skirts the eastern side, kind of like if you were going to go to Myrtle Beach, but wraps around Columbia, and then I think it's 76. I don't know what road it was, but take that right to Newberry. Boring as hell ride. It is just swampy land almost the whole way. Not a very exciting ride. But as you cross over into South Carolina, shortly after the south of the border, there's an exit with the northernmost Buc-ee's. And ooh, holy shit, so that place is a fucking shit show.
You don't like it?
A nightmare.
Disparaging Buc-ee's?
It was, oh my God.
Did you get a brisket sandwich?
You know what? My daughter did, and I tried. It was good.
Did you get some fudge?
I didn't even really get through the front door. Let's
see. The problem is with Buc-ee's. It's not that it's not good. The problem is everybody knows it's good, and there's so many fucking people that stop there.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. First off, they have like 120 gas pumps.
Yep. Yeah.
It's insane. Like it was like an amusement park on the busiest day in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the crowd of people just coming out of there as you're trying to get in. And it was like some places it felt like it was almost standing room only. There was lines wrapped around the place for people trying to go to the bathroom. And it was just like,
and there
was
really like clean bathrooms.
My wife walked up. She's like, no way. Cause I had went to go take the dog to the bathroom, but Avery and Lillian went in and they were in there for a while. So then I went in and I was like, oh my God, this is insane. And what surprised me is that They didn't sell any Pepsi products at Bucky's in South Carolina. That, it was only Coke weird. And their own product.
They usually do.
Yeah,
they usually do.
And I will say, you know, granted, if it wasn't for the mob scene that was there, I mean, I, you know, maybe I would have spent more time in there and actually bought something. Like I said, my daughter did get a brisket sandwich. My wife just didn't want to be in there at all, so I left and we went back out to the car and waited for the other two to come out. Their prices seem very, very reasonable, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to disparage Bucky's. I'm sure it's a great place, but it's just it's too much. It's insane.
Part of it is, I think once they finally complete a lot of their expansion plans, it'll get better.
I don't know about that, man. We on the way back, there was like on the exit. There's only two things on that exit: a Taco Bell and a Bucky's. And at that exit, there was like a quarter mile of traffic off the exit, just trying to get into the damn place.
Wait, so where was this, in North Carolina?
No, it's in South Carolina. I forget what exit. It's not.
I'm wondering if it just opened. That could be it. Just opened. I mean, it usually is pretty busy at every Bucky's. I've been to both the one in Pigeon Forge, and the one in Richmond, Kentucky, and they're both pretty busy. But you know,
it was insane.
It's the only thing I don't like is that you're in Kentucky and they don't care. You know, I have to stop twice going through, at least on the, like, well, I don't have to stop at Bucky's every damn time I go, but I always stop somewhere in Kentucky and I get me some L8 because I love that stuff. Usually the zero sugar version. But Bucky's doesn't carry it. And Myers does, and they're like literally like one exit away from each other. So it's like I stopped at two different exits, like, you know, in less than 15 minutes. So it eats up a little bit of time, but it's not that bad. I mean, I'll say this, you know, there are a lot of people in there, but I've gotten in and out in less than 15 minutes, depending on what time of day it's
on. My daughters, once they finally settled on, I guess, whatever they were going to get, it took a long time to get out. I mean, it seems like they have the place well-staffed and it's clean. I don't know about the bathroom.
Right.
I mean, my one daughter said that she actually went and they were selling paintings in the bathroom. Like, you could buy a painting in the bathroom if you wanted to. I don't know why you would want a painting that's been in a bathroom that's so well used like that, but whatever. Now, on another note, on a more technical note, one of the things that surprised me on the trip was that Google Maps said it was going to take us 6 hours and 35 minutes to make this drive on Wednesday. The busiest time, I guess the busiest traffic time of the year. And when we finally got down there, and I will admit, we stopped for dinner, I mean lunch, so that was, we say, an hour. And a couple of bathroom breaks, Bucky's was another one, so add in another hour for that, so 2 hours. And there were a couple of slowdowns, not too much, not too bad, but when we got there 12 hours later, I'm like, wait, what the hell happened? Like, how did we add on an extra 3 to 4 hours on the trip? So I was like, were we in traffic that bad? So on the drive home, it was going to be 10 minutes shorter, right? And 10 hours later, we're pulling in, and I'm like, where did we add on an additional at least 2 hours to this trip? It was so, I don't know what the heck is going on with Google Maps, but it was off by at least 2 hours. Now, when I looked at the directions again And if I look at it now, from my place to my mother-in-law's place, roughly 6 hours and 35 minutes. Now, the mileage, I've something like 423 miles or something like that. If I say going at 70 miles an hour, it comes out pretty close to that time. But the drive, the roads between that they told us to take between here and there, you have vast expanses that are only no more than 60 miles an hour, and you have to only do 60, especially when you're getting close to certain areas in Virginia, and I'm looking at you, Emporia, because they will bust your ass like that for speeding. And it's happened to both myself and my wife, and everybody I've ever talked to that has been through Emporia is like, yeah, you do not go over the speed limit in Emporia. So there's a good expanse there, couple of places where it goes down to 35 miles an hour. So, and even then I'm like, it should not be adding on 2 hours to the drive. So I don't know why Google Maps is so bad in that regard there. It was just, it was way off, way off. Never had that happen before, but that trip, way off. On a technical note, one of the things that the guy that I'm still doing these damn deletions, and I've roped in other people to helping me out, and so it's been running night and day for the past 3-4 weeks now, and we're getting closer. We're getting close to halfway, which is good. But one of the projects that a guy I work closely with was decided that he wanted to, once he learned about this, convert our Terraform into dynamic Terraform, as opposed to just listing all the resources in the file, doing it dynamically. And the reason for this is we both worked on documenting, since we got new team members, we worked on making sure our documentation for standing up an application is accurate and up to date. So what it is you need to do to create an application to go into our environment, all the steps that you would need to do. And I had created an application and a function, two separate repositories, shell repositories, with the steps of, okay, in order to go from nothing to having the base of an application all ready to go for your development, which would be something that just deploys a Hello World application out into all of our environments, these are the steps that you need to do. And part of it is like taking the skeleton application, checking it out, and or archiving it into the new repository that you're going to create, making a few changes here and there, some resources and stuff that you need to create in GCP to coincide with that, the service accounts, the permissions for those service accounts, whether or not they need PubSub stuff, Google storage buckets, the different things that they need, like permissions for logging and secret access, tying that all together through our CI environment. And so if you follow all the steps, in probably an hour, at the most, if it would take me an hour at the most, maybe a little longer, to go from nothing to having this out there deployed as a Hello World in all three environments. And then you can start your development. He came up with the idea, like, why don't we take it one step further and just like write a little script that you answer a few questions and then it automatically does all this for you, right? And you could, you would be, have that done for you. And one of the challenges with that was doing our Terraform, because our Terraform has been put together kind of piecemeal throughout the years, and things have been changed, and so it wasn't structured easily to script additions to it. And I had said to him, if that's the route that you're going to want to take, you probably either want to break up the Terraform sections into their own file, like one for buckets and one for, you know, pub sub stuff and one for service accounts. And then, you know, and even that, maybe you want to do it dynamically through. And so he got a bug in his butt that he wanted to do this and set about doing it. And I worked with him on it, and he did a great job. You know, he figured it all out and set it up so that it, you just pass it a list. It's got this like list of applications and functions, just their names and stuff, and a few different parameters. And then each one of the sections will take that list and provision the necessary resources in Google Cloud Platform. The only problem is when you're dealing with Terraform is that it's a stateful configuration. So what you have that already, the challenge is when you have something that already exists, you can't just make alterations to it willy-nilly. So if you change like the resource name or the name of it, then that to Terraform is as if you're creating a whole new resource. So, and when you do things dynamically, the resource name ends up changing because it's very difficult to maintain the same resource name when you're doing things dynamically. So that was a bit of an obstacle that we had to overcome, which was made very easy once you figured it out by using Terraform Move. So what Terraform Move would do is if you are doing something like we're doing, like moving a resource to a different location or a name, but you don't want it to destroy what exists out there already, you could use Terraform Move. So what all we had to do was with the new dynamic format, it replaced the old stuff. So the old stuff was removed and the new stuff is in there, even though it relates to resources that already exist. To Terraform, when you apply it, it's as if it's creating new resources, but it really can't create new resources because those resources already exist there. But it wants to destroy the ones that were already there because they're no longer there. So you have to use a move syntax, which basically says you're moving this old resource name to this new resource name. And that was fairly straightforward once that was figured out, like what the new naming structure was. Because when you're naming it dynamically, you don't see the actual name of it in the file. It's generated programmatically when you apply the Terraform state. So you have to look at what's going to be applied, the plan, and you see, well, it's going to create this new resource and destroy this old resource. So you have to kind of look at that and say, okay, here's the naming format of the old resource, and then here's the naming convention of the new resource. So that was the one thing that we had to do. The second thing was that we had split our Terraform files up, our networking side of things, out of the rest of it, where we had everything else in a separate workspace. So then the challenge there is because we wanted to move what we were, the networking stuff from one workspace into the other workspace and generate it dynamically there. That was a greater challenge. We couldn't simply use a move in there. After a significant amount of research, what you have to do in this case is kind of like an import. So the two ways that you could do this is the import syntax basically says you are going to take this resource that you are creating, this new resource, and you are going to tie it to an existing Google Cloud product resource. And that is done by taking the resource, Terraform resource name that you are creating, and linking it to the Google Cloud product ID there. So it's the Terraform address resource name and the Google ID for that resource. And the way that you find out what the Google ID is for that resource is you have to go to the Terraform documentation, look for that resource that you want to import, and then in their documentation, they tell you the format of the import. So it's typically like the Google Cloud product, the project name, and then like for a bucket, it's really simple. It's just, it can be the project name slash bucket name, or it can just be the bucket name that you could use, right? That's fairly simple. And then that links it up together. But the way, another way that we did it was that you can get the Terraform state of an existing workspace. Right. So we do that for the networking workspace. We take that and dump it out to a file. And then you can take the Terraform space of the file, the workspaces of the state that you want to import it into, and just take the JSON object and add it into the old workspace. And then there's a few other things that you might have to do. Like there was an options section that we had to pull in there also from that Terraform file. And then what is weird, because I never saw any of this in the documentation, because we had somebody who had done this before helping us out. He said you also have to update the version in the state file by like one or two versions. Otherwise, it's going to try and reapply a same version, and it won't allow that. So you have to update the version on there. And then what that does is it links all the stuff that was in that other workspace that already exists in Google Cloud platform to the Terraform resources in the other workspace that you are creating. And so ideally what you end up with when you do your plan, because the way that it works is you make your changes in Terraform, you push those changes up into, well, however you're doing. In our case, we're using Scalar, but you can use it with Terraform commands from the command line. But you do that up there. It looks at all your Terraform files, generates a new state, compares it to the old state, and determines what's going to be updated. And it lets you know this is what we're going to do in the plan. And if the plan looks good, then you apply it. So then it takes the changes, and it does whatever it needs to do to create, update, or destroy those resources in Google Cloud or wherever you're applying the Terraform against. Now, for us, the ideal state of this is once that we were finished, the Terraform plan would show that it's not making any changes. And that's what we got it to. So we were thankful for that. But on the networking side, once everything was moved over, he went and decided that he was going to do the networking dynamically and set this all up. And we ended up today, I'm going to say a little after maybe like 2 o'clock, we ended up in a situation where so we had this one application, and it happens to be the linchpin application for everything. It's our authentication service. And what ended up happening was, generally speaking, we have everything is kind of like based off the application name. So what we deploy into Cloud Run, that container, that application, the repository name matches the application name, matches the service account. So it's kind of all based off of that. But this one application, our authentication service, when it was initially set up, when it was, yeah, now I'm triggering Google. When it was initially set up, it was called Authoring Authentication Microservice. And the service account name had to be Authoring Auth Microservice, A-U-T-H. And for the longest time, we couldn't remember why. I couldn't remember why this change had to be. So we named it when we were set it up on a load balancer. The name of it was Authoring Auth Microservice, and that's the name of the resource backend. And then the name, the resource name itself, the name in Google was just called Authoring Authentication Microservice, which tied to the application that was running in Cloud Run. So you told it to do that. When he converted it to doing it dynamically, he chose to call it Authoring Auth Microservice to keep it consistent to the way that it was named, and thus the problem ensued. So when he attempted to move it with the rest of the stuff, it created a situation where that because it was not named the same, we ended up with it creating a new service and trying to alter the old service, but it couldn't do the alteration. And the reason why I couldn't do the alteration was because on this whole thing, there is a back end and then there is a network. It's called a NEG, a network endpoint. I can't remember what the G stands for. Network endpoint. And then that all gets put on the load balancer URL map, which maps, okay, if you're going to slash authenticate, it goes to this backend, which is on the network endpoint, whatever it's called. So you have three resources that are dependent upon each other. The NEG, the backend, and the URL map. And it won't let you alter the backend or the NEG because the URL map is dependent upon the back end, and the back end is dependent upon the NEG, and the NEG is dependent upon the back end. So it creates this dependency loop that you end up in a situation where you break the Terraform because it wants to make this change, but you can't make the change because they're all dependent upon it. So now you're kind of like screwed. And the only way that you can make a change is to actually kind of like delete this, is to remove it from the URL endpoint. But you can't remove it from the URL endpoint because it was dynamically generated at this point. So it's trying to, like, we ended up in a state where it wanted, it changed what was in Google Cloud, and it used the old resource but gave it the new name. So if we tried to delete the old resource, it wasn't working. It wouldn't allow us to do it. If we tried to delete the new one, it wouldn't allow us to do it because of the dependency thing. And we spent like 3 hours trying to figure out how we're going to fix this, because it was a pain in the ass. We tried so many different things. But what I ultimately came upon, and this is what worked for us, I was surprised that I figured this out, was that looking at what it was trying to do, right? So we need to get it out of the URL map. But because it's trying to update the service and it can't do it because it wants to recreate it, but it can't delete it because it's already dependent. I said, well, wait a second. If it's the new resource with the, or the old resource with the, or the new resource with the old name, why don't we just reverse the move process that we did and tell it to move the new resource back to the old name? And we put the old configuration back in there, and voila, that worked. Luckily, at around 6 o'clock tonight, we implemented that, tried it out, and therefore we ended up with a Terraform plan that the only thing it was going to do was remove the back end mapping from the URL map. Once that was out of the URL map, we were able to then remove the old configuration and set up a new one for it, which we couldn't do dynamically after that because of the whole thing. Now, what really screwed us over is my mistake that I labored under for a long time, in that originally the problem that we had when we attempted to create the service account for the authoring authentication microservice was that a Google service account has a limitation of 6 to 30 characters for the service account name. And so trying to call it authoring authentication microservice exceeded 30 characters. So that's why we truncated the name of the service account to just be auth. Now, I forgot that was the problem. And now, on the flip side, a Terraform resource has a limitation of up to having a 64-character name. And I think at one point that limitation was a lot smaller than 64 characters, and we ran afoul of that, which is why I was very cognizant for the past couple of years of how we were naming things to not go over that limitation. And thus, what ended up happening is that on the Terraform side of things in Google Cloud Computing, everything is driven from the service account name, because that's primarily what we're working with there. Generating service accounts, providing those service accounts the permissions that they need to do the different things when the applications that run as those service accounts need to access Google Cloud resources, it's via the Google service account. On the application side, for building and deploying the application that is driven by the name of the application, and that's all connected together. So generally, the name of the application is also the name of the service account, but due to the 30-character limitation, that's why this service account was different, and that's what caused this whole problem. And once I looked at all this stuff and figured that out, that made it a lot easier to say, okay, this is what we need to do. So we could have altered all of the dynamically generated Terraform to account for this, or we could have just pulled, what we did was just pull authoring authentication microservice out for the networking stuff and just did a one-off configuration for that, and that got added into the dynamically generated stuff, and that solved our problem ultimately. But it was a huge pain in the ass for like 4 hours trying to get this thing to work properly. It was a pain. But yeah, Terraform, we learned a lot though. A lot, Joel. And I put you to sleep, didn't I?
Sure.
Sure, man.
Did you say something?
Are you doing Terraform stuff? Too. Are you doing Terraform stuff, Joel? Yeah?
No.
It is nice. It is really handy. I mean, to control your infrastructure with it, it's really, really handy to do.
I know we use it, but I'm not involved with it.
It is It's a learning experience. And if you're not learning, Joe, you're what? What were you telling me earlier? You're dying. If you're not learning, you're dying.
Yep. Stop learning, start dying.
That's right. Joel's dying over there right now.
Well, I'm actually
dying for a Buc-ee's.
No, you're all right. No. Do you see the link I put in the Mumble chat? What Sam's Club is doing this year? At three special Sam's Clubs, they're having the Holodog.
That looks disgusting.
Yeah. Like, frankly, both is pumpkin pie plus candy canes on a hot dog. Mashed potatoes and Christmas cookies on a hot dog.
That's why?
Called the holiday mashup. And Seasons Meetings, the only one that looks any good, which has turkey and prime rib roast on a hot dog.
Yeah, that one. You know what? I got my gobbler this year. Do you know what a gobbler?
What is a gobbler?
Gobbler's Wawa's like hot turkey.
Oh, hoagie with
stuffing and cranberry. And gravy.
I bet you
on
that
it.
Was good.
It is good. I will admit. I like to have a gobbler once a year. Once a year, I have a gobbler, and that then I'm good. But I don't think I would want candy cane and pumpkin pie on a hot dog. That looks disgusting.
Yeah, it sounds gross.
Yeah, Joe might eat that.
That happens tomorrow at New York City. December 9th in Nashville, Texas, Tennessee. And, December 12th at Dallas, Texas.
Oh, it's not everywhere?
No, it's only at those three places. In their snack bar. But apparently, if you look down further the page, they give you what you need to buy to make your own at home. I'm like, no, I'm good. Oh, well, I would think, no.
So let me get this right. If you want to build your own Seasons Meetings hot dog, you have to buy a whole hickory smoked turkey.
And a prime rib.
A thing of 64-ounce thing of mashed potatoes, a 12-inch pumpkin pie, a 12-inch apple lattice pie. Oh wait, that's what the hell is
no,
that?
No, it's you're saying pick them, not all.
Oh,
of them.
Oh yeah, yes. Okay, so you grab a wiener, and then either you can get a whole smoked turkey, and then you get a whole Member's Mark prime rib. Do you have to cook that yourself, or does it come pre-cooked?
I think those are pre-cooked.
And then a box of bone broth gravy. So for one hot dog, you're going to be spending
Or you can even get grosser.
$100.
You can even get grosser and put like Brussels sprouts on a hot dog.
Well, you can do a pumpkin pie with Brussels sprouts and whip topping. Members
this
Mark's
is,
original.
This
dough.
Is like was I think it was it on Full House where or some TV show from the 90s where a little girl was trying to teach herself how to cook and she would make all these weird combos and it's like yeah, no.
Like I see I don't like some of this doesn't make any
Granted,
sense. Like
I would
see...
not mind buying that turkey, but not to put on a fucking hot dog.
You can make that turkey in your
eat
you
it.
You got a Prager, man. Don't you?
Pit boss. But
Pit
yeah.
Pit boss. But like some of these like macaroni and cheese on a hot dog, okay. Why not?
That's not bad, yeah.
But a hot dog with
mashed potatoes?
Green beans and M&M's? What?
Right.
Or mashed sweet potatoes and yogurt-covered pretzels?
I mean, or candy canes. That doesn't... No. No. I mean, I like candy canes. I'll eat them. In fact, I've been trying to find them to put on my Christmas tree. And I can't. The only ones I can seem to find are the store brand ones. I want freaking Spanglers, man.
What's the difference?
Well, one's made in Ohio. The other isn't. But well, it's like now. Now I will say that I have had the DiGiorno. Kroger's had the DiGiorno Thanksgiving pizza. I've had three of them. They are good, actually.
How many did you have, Joe?
None, probably.
None.
Well, so, didn't you have a family member that's allergic to turkey?
No, sweet potatoes.
Oh, that's it, yeah. Which are freaking delicious.
I really enjoy sweet potatoes.
I'd tell Alexa to shut the hell up.
Alexa, shut the hell up.
Yeah. Or like there is a, what is it, a dairy barn or some place I saw where they made a Little Debbie Christmas tree cake milkshakes, and they had a full-on Christmas tree cake, you know, the whole cake stuck on the top. Which, don't get me wrong, I like those things, you know, but, you know. On top of a super calorific milkshake, that ain't happening. More than once.
Definitely not more than once. This is really good.
I did see news on the internet. They're going to be bringing Chi-Chi's back.
Where, in Ohio?
No.
Are they trying to kill you?
I don't know, man. They must be. I guess Hormel Foods owns, like, they're the ones that do the salsa and their chips that are still branded with the restaurant. And I guess you can get, like, the corn cake recipe, instant corn cake from them, like they used to make in the restaurant.
A corn cake? And Chi-Chi's?
Yeah, they've had corn cake, yeah.
Hmm.
But you can buy it's essentially a bag that has their brand on it that has cornmeal and flour in it, essentially, when you really think about it. And you mix that with a can of cream corn and whatever else.
Man, that sounds like something similar to Cope's. Dried
does,
corn
don't
stuff.
It? Yeah. Well, you can make it that way.
Yeah.
You know, I came from Pennsylvania, and I never heard of it until I talked to you.
And that's weird. Like, nobody's ever heard of it. I'm like, we got to get the word out there. They got to start making more. They got to have somebody else making it so it comes down in price. Too damn expensive. I used the two bags I got, and I gave the third one away to somebody who's never had it before. Now I gotta go buy another three bags. Bastards.
That's one pit stop that we'll do when we're down in Tennessee is the Yoder's Farm Market.
What do you get there? Yoder?
What do you get? They'll have birch beer.
Okay.
Birch beer. And seltzers. Love It of Bologna. They had that there when I was there. That was apparently there must be more than one because I searched for it and I'm pulling up ones like in New Albany and Heath. Which means I need to take a trip out there someday.
You know, I over at Little here, they have the seltzers, lemon, and bologna. They have both the regular and the sweet.
Giant Eagle, I can get regular and sweet, but I can't get anything else. You know, any of their, because they do other flavors too.
They do a spicy
like
one,
double smoked, and all that. They have a sweet chipotle one, and I've got some downstairs. It's delicious. I've had it.
Sounds like it might be delicious. Let's see if they have it at Little. That sounds good. Delicious. Oh, it's almost that time to start wrapping things up, Joel.
Yeah, I feel myself getting tired anyway.
Are you, when is your 10K, Joel? He's already on it, I guess.
Yeah, he started.
They got him. We got him. Oh, my goodness. My Paige lent me her copy of the Burn Book. It is the, I guess maybe you might call it oh wait, isn't it the, it is the Burn Book, isn't it? Not the Burn Book. It's, yeah, it's
my laptop.
Burn Book by Kara Swisher, who is a well-known journalist who covered particularly the internet tech for during
she was on Twitch.
Yeah, so it's a really cool, it's a really well-written book, and of course she's a professional journalist. A lot of interesting stories in there about the a lot of the big names that we know today, like Bezos and Musk and all those, and them starting out. So it's I'm very much enjoying the book. It is very good, and I recommend it to check it out. Tech Love Story, Burn Book by Kara Swisher. Check it out. Sorry, Joel, you were saying?
No, I say this laptop, the battery is dead in it, and I yanked the stupid cable out and it went down.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Eventually I should just order, the battery's only $40 on Amazon. I should just order it, take it apart and fix it.
Is it a laptop that you can easily get the battery? Like, is the battery in?
I've done it before. Yeah, yeah.
Is it something you have to take the case off to get the battery, or the bottom of the case?
Yeah, just the whole bottom of it, which comes off pretty easily. So the harder part is getting the screws out of the battery itself. But since I've already done that once, it's not going to be as hard. But it's better than. My primary laptop that I use for all the photo editing, the control key on the left-hand side of the keyboard stopped working. So I was trying to clean it out, you know, just lifting the key up slightly and spraying, you know, canned air underneath of it. And, of course, the whole keycap came off of my fingers. So I looked into getting just the key, because you can get the replacement keycap. So I tried to order it, but then after I ordered it and already paid for it, they say, well, we don't have any of those. I'm like, well, just refund my money. So they said they could send me a whole keyboard. Well, I looked into replacing the keyboard on this laptop. Yeah, I take a whole damn fucking motherboard out and everything just to replace the keyboard. I mean, it's a couple years old, so I'm just going to live with it the way it is now, because, you know, on that one, this one actually is in better shape than that, except for the battery. You know, and the other one still works, and it's got two control keys, and, you know, yeah, I can make do. It's fine. You know, it's just a pain in the ass. So eventually, I think I'm going to probably, well, and that's the thing here, and that's something I might bring up to the wife, say, hey, if I buy it now, before these stupid tariffs go in, I could get it cheaper.
Is that how you're going to convince your wife?
It probably won't work.
No.
But because I was looking at, like, I'll probably replace it with well, it has to be something that runs either Windows or Mac OS, so I'll probably replace it with a MacBook Air since I use Creative Cloud, and I've tried Darktable before and really doesn't work for me. And there's a lot of automation features that Lightroom has that Darktable doesn't as much. So, you know, and plus the fact too that the one of the bigger pains with dealing with the open source world is if Sony or Nikon or whoever brings out a great camera, it might take years before the raw format's supported. So, granted, fortunately, those have been relatively stable. But I'm not buying a new camera anytime soon. Right now, my priorities are hiking gear and shoot. I was gonna buy new shoes until I found out my Mammoth March goes. The tickets open up for the march I'm doing on Friday, and I got to sign. I basically have to sign up Friday for it because last year it sold out real quick. So we're gonna do. I'm gonna finish it this year. So I've already done like 16 to 17 on a flat trail, and I'm planning on when I go down to my dad's. There's over 331 trails in Smoky Mountain National Park. And I'm going to go pick one and go on it. So, because I should have some time down there when dad works at Sam's Club. So he may not be able to, like, do stuff with me during the day anyway. You know, so, like, in the evening, we'll go out to dinner or something. Probably go to Twin Peaks or to Hooters. Because that's where he likes to go. Well, there or a Texas Roadhouse.
You're going to get up there and strut your stuff?
Have you ever been to one of those?
What, to Hooters? I've been to a Hooters a long time ago.
Well, or Twin Peaks.
I never even heard of Twin Peaks other than you mentioning it. I've never seen one.
Yeah, it was opened by the guy that used to run Hooters.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah. They just wear, instead of wearing skin tight T-shirts, they wear skin tight flannels.
Why not? PG. Right?
Right. Pub style food
makes you happy. Wait, it's just wings, isn't
food
it?
Actually,
wings.
No, Twin Peaks isn't. Hooters, actually, Hooters has more than wings now, but. Wings are the best thing to get there, in my opinion.
I do. They've
always had more than just wings there.
Yeah, yep. I know, but that's like.
I mean, it's what you get anyway. But they've always had more than just wings there,
right?
Yeah, I think. I never understood like why. You know, one of the things that when we were driving up and down the Eastern Seaboard there when we were trying to sell my dad's house, Paige and I, she would read off the Yelp reviews at restaurants, and you know, you'd always surprised when you would have a seafood restaurant and it would get a bad Yelp review because the person didn't like their chicken sandwich. It's like, it's
right,
a seafood
right.
restaurant. Why the hell are you ordering a chicken sandwich?
Right?
You know, focus, people. Focus. Jeez.
So Twin Peaks has like burgers, sandwiches, flatbreads, tacos, wings, other stuff.
Tacos, there you go. Does Hooters have tacos too? I wouldn't be surprised if they have.
I don't know.
I wouldn't neither.
I haven't been there in like 20 years, so.
I mean, there are, in my opinion, there are better wing places, but.
Go there for the atmosphere.
Let's see.
Oh, is that what you call it? I thought you went for the, the breasticles.
They do. They do. They have sandwiches and tacos. So, yes, they do.
Spicy.
Mm-hmm. When, so my wife, I think I mentioned this, my wife did this thing where
the restaurant thing, yeah.
Did the top earners, and one of the kids wanted Wingstop. That motherfucker for $25, I was surprised what he got. He got, I guess, a box of six wings, four of those. So he had like 24 wings, and the fries, four orders of fries to go with it, and like four orders of the, I didn't even know they had this, the fried Cajun corn. Like, he got so much stuff for like $24. So I tried their wings. I got a 10 wings. Yeah, that's right. I think it was 10 wings. So five apiece.
They're not bad.
And I thought they were kind of, I thought they were bad. I didn't think they were very good. Now, it could be I didn't eat them
could
for
be
like
where
a
you
while.
Were.
Yeah, that could be it too. I mean, they were really nice and their order was spot on and they were very friendly, but the wings weren't that great. I was not impressed with the wings. I love chicken wings, man. Damn, I love chicken wings.
So you're a chicken wing but not a saucy nug kind of guy.
Are you talking about nuggets with sauce?
Right. like Wendy's saucy nugs.
I like my chicken with the bone still in it.
Well, on the other side of that, though, is like you go to Wendy's. What do you go to Wendy's for? You go for burgers.
A burger? I don't go to Wendy's anymore. It's chicken. Fucking expensive.
It's true. It is.
Like, for what I get at Wendy's, I can get a decent burger somewhere else.
It has been cheaper for us to go to Taco Cabana than it has been for us to go to Wendy's.
I had Taco Bell for dinner. Cantina Chicken Power Bowl.
Dude, you know what? That's true. We stopped on the way back. We stopped at this barbecue restaurant.
Okay.
It was like I don't even remember where it was. It was almost like in the middle of nowhere, and off an exit. And it was just like you walk in, and it's almost like a log cabin, right? You walk in, and it's decorated with all this like posters and pictures of like the person's family and posters of like old movies, and there was a stuffed bear in there and a bobcat, and it's locals are always going there and people all know each other, and the food was served on paper styrofoam plates. It was amazing, though. Don't get me wrong. The food was fantastic.
The hole-in-the-wall places are always the best.
Like, I had to go out afterwards. My wife paid the bill, and I went out to be with the dog for a bit and make sure he could go to the bathroom. And she came out. She's like, guess how much that was? And I'm like, 50, 60 bucks. You're like, no, it was like $40. Not even that.
Damn.
$40 for.
Damn.
Like it was so good too. It was, yeah. Like, you would spend more going to like McDonald's or Wendy's than eating at that place. And that place was like all,
you know what? Cooked, what I know, like to
made
get.
Food.
We have a local Euro place here, and I like to get their Greek salad with and add a Euro meat to it.
Oh, I love Euro.
And feta.
Oh, my gosh. Greek food, any day of the week
Euro
for me.
Meat. Ugh.
So you said it was $40? How many people were eating?
three. I think it was like $36 or something like that. With tip, it was like around $40.
Cool.
It was really freaking good. And like, I shouldn't have, but I got the large portion of barbecue, and it came with like a bunch of hush puppies and some fries and coleslaw. And my wife got the dark meat chicken, and again, hush puppies, fries, coles, and coleslaw. I think my daughter got a double burger, fries and coleslaw, double cheeseburger, fries and coleslaw, and hush puppies, and
yeah,
drinks and everything.
Sounds it crazy, was, but
it sounds what?
Whenever I go to Long John Silver's, I always order a big old box of hush puppies.
You know what?
Every single time.
I haven't even seen a Long John Silver's in decades, man.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen one.
They're still around. They're not. I mean, there's at least one in Columbus area, and we've gone there. And I'm going to be honest, the fish wasn't that good last time we went.
The hush puppies definitely aren't that good. They make them too small anymore. They're basically a brick.
Well, that's true.
The whole damn way through.
That's true, but I mean, nothing will beat the ones I had down at Carolina Barbecue in Spartanburg.
Well, with that, we got to wrap this up. Yeah, I know what you're saying, man. Although this guy's hush puppies are really good. Anyway, we'll see you in a week. Here they are, your outros and promos.
I am short.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Woo! Mountain Dew whoopie pies? No, thank you.
Not Dave would have the Diet Mountain Dew ones.
Yeah, there you go. Aw, oh, somebody made a pumpkin pie in a cast iron fry pan.
Was it good?
I don't know. Oh, and he smoked it too. Okay. Now, he's got me questioning. And he called it a fireball pumpkin pie, so I assume it had fireball in it too. Eh.
Not for you?
I got. Nah. Just like y'all make. When people make pumpkin pies, they don't make it like my mama does. I do. And that is, mom doesn't like nutmeg, so she doesn't put nutmeg or allspice in her pumpkin pies. The only thing she ever put in it was cinnamon. She said that you couldn't taste the pumpkin. And she's right. You couldn't taste the pumpkin with all the spices in there. That's why people don't really eat pumpkin pie for pumpkin. They eat it for the cinnamon, the allspice, and the nutmeg. Don't get me wrong. I'll eat a regular piece of pumpkin pie. But that Nutter Butter whey protein. Ugh. I've had it almost every day this week with my bagel. Just to add some protein to my diet. In fact, I might grab
you add protein to your diet the hoagie man way. Begging for it in the bathroom.
The secret.
Just not finding the documentation that I need, I think. I explain it in a palatable way.
You know, I wish that what I always thought about Nginx, and it's probably because I'm a lot more familiar with Apache. But what I always found about Nginx, it was always such a pain in the ass to get things like PHP or other stuff running right.
Well, I want it for the reverse proxy.
Ah, yeah, that.
Can you do that with Apache?
I suspect you can, but Nginx, I think, is probably a little easier to do that. We have it set up, well, we used to have it set up all the time in front of all our Node applications at work, but we were just using a containerized version of the Nginx for Kubernetes that made it really simple, so it wasn't like setting it up ourselves. But yeah, if you're used to Apache, I think Nginx is almost like an entirely different animal.
So yeah, I haven't done much. It's been a long time since I did with anything with Apache either. So
yeah, well, you know what, Joe? If it's been a long time since you did any of that stuff, then you're in for a ride, right?
Hey, but you know, stop learning, start dying.
That's right. It's just like setting up an email server. You haven't done it.
Because that's always fun.
Yeah, if you haven't done it in a long time, even if you have done it recently, it sucks. Ay. Dave won't be here tonight. Look at freaking Murph over there, just hanging out now, listening to like a
Murph,
drunk
join
monkey.
Us. Like we a drunk, need voices.
Drunk monkey.
Murph, do you know anything about Nginx?
He wrote the book. He authored the book Nginx for Dummies and Joe.
Ah, sometimes I qualify. Can't know everything, right?
Well, it's a bad day for Murph, and he doesn't know anything about Nginx.
Gotta know something about something. Bad day for me, too.
All right.
So what? I'm going to wait for the show. It's not anything technical.
No, we can wait for we can start the show and then talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I updated that just so I can try and get past the SSL problem I had. Pointless, because that wasn't it. What am I doing here? Oh, there we go. All right. What am I doing here? Okay. All right, so this is episode 1078. Let's get right into it, and then Joel can come in